And now, 5 good minutes.
I don't think that people should be able to possess a semi-automatic, which can be a weapon of mass destruction.
We don't want to take anyone's Second Amendment rights away. We don't. That's not our goal. But, you know, we do want to make sure that people who have the potential to be dangerous, people who are dangerous, are not able to easily access guns.
Just a few moments ago, I signed a memorandum directing the Attorney General to propose regulations to ban all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns.
The bump stocks President Trump talking about. He'll be hosting a listening session, it is called today, about safety of kids at school. We're on that topic this morning with Tim Dimoff, President and CEO of Sachs Consulting Investigative Services. He has done a lot of consulting and work with companies and schools as well on safety. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to jump around a little bit, and I apologize, but there's a ton of stuff here for you. First of all, you have written a piece. I know Cozy has posted this, and we'll put a link up as well. If firearms in the workplace, what do you need to know? There's the law, there's policy. You know, a lot of people are questioning nowadays, should I have a gun with me?
Yeah. Well, the gun debate, is a strong, it's a worthy debate. And a lot of it, though, also has a lot of emotion in it. You have some very strong pro-gun and anti-gun people, and the emotion gets involved. If you look across the board, a lot of surveys, interviews have been done, and definitely on the firearm side, there needs to be potentially some adjustments. Trying to eliminate firearms totally and thinking, that that's going to eliminate the problem. This Florida shooter, if there was no existence of an AR-15, we destroyed them all in the world. He would have showed up with a couple 9mm and loaded up magazines and still done what he wanted to do. But I also understand on the other end, we don't want to give the type of firepower that just makes it more easier and more bullets that can be shot. So there's a compromise in the middle, and maybe the compromise in the middle is what President Trump just talked about. I think it's important not being able to convert weapons into fully automatic. Secondly, maybe a certain category of firearms, like an AR-15, maybe we have a different set of credentials of obtaining those, such as, you can't be obtaining those type of firearms until 25 years of age or older. That's the same age that you can't rent a car at, and make it harder for younger people, students, kids to get those guns. But the number one thing across the country that all the surveys show is that people want mental illness addressed much more stronger than they do that they want firearms addressed.
This played out in Florida, sadly. There was the tip to the FBI we know about that wasn't, passed along. There were checks on this kid. He could buy guns. Yeah, he had 7 of them legal. Still couldn't go in and buy a beer. I mean, that's the question I have in society when it comes to this. When it comes to, though, the first line of defense, you work with a lot of schools and businesses on security. And you know what? I'm going to fly on a plane, and there could be, a security on there with a guy with a gun. I don't know about it, with 200 other people on the plane. You got 1,000 kids on a school campus, and I don't have a security guard with a gun there.
Yeah. My company, Sachs Consulting, we've researched over 300 active shooter incidents and 1,000 acts of violence. And just a couple common denominators. The first common denominator, which we're not addressing, which would really help, is that shooters, whether they're students, young people, adults, in the majority of cases, not all, but in the majority, they're talking about them, their feelings, their dreams, their goals, their attitude towards people, what they might do, what they're thinking of doing. They're posting stuff on social media. They're showing people pictures on social media. So the bottom line is there's a lot of clues out there that are being told to family, friends, students, coworkers, etc. We don't have a process that says specifically what you do with that info. We just tell people see something, say something, which I really like. But who do we say something to? Who's exactly do we call? What is that 800 number? What is that app on the phone a student can tap onto? And that's where we're failing. We're not capturing the information. And then half the time when we do get the information, We're not approaching those people and letting them know it's no longer a secret. We do that, we could decrease these shootings significantly.
Sadly, this Cruz didn't break a law till he pulled the trigger the other day. You know, I mean, he had everything legal at the time, right?
Yeah, he did. But he came back to that school several times. He wasn't allowed in the school. He came back and tested it. He went in and out of that door a couple times before he came there the other day to shoot. He also told other students. He showed pictures. He had pictures posted. FBI knew he was a potential risk. Knock on this kid's door, start talking to him, start letting him know it's no longer a secret. The psychological key here is, as long as these shooters only tell a few people, and they think that's within their own confines of confidence with them and maybe some friends or whatever, they're going to proceed. Once you can pierce that, what we call the secrecy, it significantly prevents these type of things. And then you got mental health. And then the last thing, Bill, which we're pushing right now, we're doing a ton with schools and churches and nonprofits. I'm going to tell you where this issue has to stop. It stops at the door. We cannot let these kids, hundreds of kids, as you said, walk in a door. I just went to a school. I watched 400 or 500 kids from 8 to 8:15 walk in a door. No adults there. No metal detectors. Nothing. We need to stop it at the door. You can't stop it inside the building. And we need to change.
Tim Dimoff, President CEO, Sachs Consulting Investigative Services. Tim, thanks.
Thank you.